Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, NYCVirtualOffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000 or online at nycvirtualoffice.com.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
How many of us have ever been in a situation, in a place in our life, where we just want to say, just forget it? And being in a situation, not just a situation, but being in a situation that's not even your own fault. You in this predicament because of somebody else and what they want to do. Life is hard for you. Has anybody ever been in that place? I'm reminded of these commercials. I don't even know what it was about, but they had this thing. I think it was the airlines. You know, you want to get away. You know, there's all kinds of like. And my favorite one was this person that was in somebody else's bathroom. And they, you know, looking around and everything. And they opened up the medicine cabinet. You know, you're supposed to be messing with other people's stuff in the house. And they opened up the medicine cabinet and everything fell out. And it was like, oh. And then the captain in the commercial said, you ever just want to get away? You know, got yourself in a situation, you open it up somebody else, but now you got to try to put it all back. And you just come off. But if you ever been there, and the first thing that we want to do is just run away. Hallelujah. You just want to get away. And that's where I am. At a point in my life right now, I just want to get away. I ain't gonna take off from what? I ain't going nowhere, but I just want to get away. But you know what God told me this morning? He said, don't run, submit. He said, don't run, submit. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm gonna start at verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of Jesus. Look at verse right there. In the midst of everything not going the way you want it to go, they may speak against you, they may not want you to be there, they may not want you to do anything, but that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold. And the only way they're going to behold it is if you don't run. And stay there. And then it says, verse 13, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And I like verse 18. It says, servant, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the soul. Don't just do good to the good supervisor of it. You got to do good to the bad one as well. And a lot of times we find ourselves caught in a situation and we want to run. But God is saying in this time, don't run. So what does submission mean? Coming in alignment under the authority of, it's kind of like the military. You have your hierarchy. You know, private, you just do what the sergeant say do. And the sergeant, they do what the officers say do. As long as it's not in violation of anything. So it's that submission to that level of authority, even though you may not agree. Because I've been at times in rooms and with people I just don't agree with. But as long as it didn't violate my character, mess with my children, or my check, and my conscience, it's all right. Because it wasn't in Mark. I just disagreed with the situation. How many of us have ever been there where we disagree? But when the doors open and you come out of that room, you submit and you walk in step with the decision that has been made. And I know y'all looking at me like that's a hard thing to do. Yes, it is. But I want you to know that in the midst of that turmoil, in the midst of everything that's going on, God is doing something more. I want to take you all now to give you an example of this to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, here we're dealing with the situation with Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. And though we've heard the story many times, I want us to look deeply at this about what happened and what actually went on. Chapter 16, verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. She ran. She ran. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said to her, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence came thou? And whither wilt thou go? Here's the Almighty, all-knowing God asking Hagar a question. Where you came from? It's not only where you going. It's not so much that he didn't know. He's getting her to stop in the midst of her situation and really take an account of what's going on. Well, where are you coming from? Where are you going? And she said, I flee, I run from the face of my mistress, sir. And y'all women can be something else when y'all she was running from you. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, what? Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for a multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has heard thy word. Okay. A lot of times we praying, Lord, get me out of this affliction. God is not worried about the prayer right there, and he's going to deal with that affliction. And notice, he may have been praying, but he didn't say he heard her prayer. The Lord heard her affliction. Are you being afflicted today? Are you in a precarious situation? Because here the Lord is saying to her, hey, where are you coming from? Like, I'm coming from my mistress, Sarah. All right. I think you don't go. And what you got with you is took off, ran and left. Ain't get thought to anything. Where you going to go? And here's what I want you to understand. Hagar was in a place not by her own doing. See, God had promised Sarah and Abraham a child. God was taking his time. But they wanted to rest God. Specifically, Sarah wanted to rest God. So she said, well, since God's not moving, I'm going to do this for myself. So in custom, she got Hagar, gave Hagar to Abraham, and Abraham met with her, and she was now married to him. But that's that. You don't think that he's here. And Sarah got a little upset. And then she went to Abraham, you know, that was the first time. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. She gave Hagar to her husband, and now things not going the way she expected them to. She said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had deceived, I was despised in her own eyes. So now you have Sarah here. Sarah upset. But she did it herself. But now she's blaming Abraham. But then Abraham took the script and he said, she ain't your hand. You do what you want to do with her. And so now we have Hagar, who was only doing what she was instructed to do, now finds herself in a place where the person that wanted her to do it is all mad at her. How many times people are going to ask you to do something, you do it, and then they get mad at you? And so now that individual is upset, and so now she's running from the situation. She's running because it's hard. She's running because she doesn't know what to do. But sometimes God doesn't want us to run from the situation. He wants us to stay there. The words I hear that says, it was good for me that I was afflicted that I might learn your steps. Sometimes God allows us to be in certain places so that you can learn how to navigate in some water. God puts you in places. He doesn't want you to run. He understands your affliction. He understands the pain that you are going through. Nothing escapes God. He told her to go back and do what I want you to submit. Submit to her. Why? Because in your submission, I'm going to work everything out. A lot of times we want to run, but God said, stay right there. You don't have to move. I'm going to work your affliction, and I'm going to move the people around you. I just need you to stay put. I just need you to hold the course and understand what I mean over in Psalm 34:19. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of them all. Not some, but all. A lot of times we get in a situation and we want to run. God is saying, don't run. I want you to stay right there. Because in the midst of this affliction, I'm going to tell you some things. In the midst of this affliction, you're going to learn some things. In the midst of this affliction, God's saying, I'm going to get the glory. A lot of times we want to run from the young people. I'm just going to talk about me. Growing up in my house, when I was a young boy, I thought I was being afflicted. I really thought I was in a rough spot. And it was one time in my life that at school we had payphones. I picked up the payphone from school and I called my aunt. And I said, I'm about to run away from home. Because it was too tough at the house. Because I thought I was being afflicted. Telling me to do stuff that I really didn't want to do. I was being afflicted. And I wanted to run. And I called my aunt. And I said, I'm running away from home. You know what she told me? She said, leave. And go back to that house. So I submitted. And I went back. And to this day, I can really reflect on that psalm that says it was good that I was afflicted. You see, it was good that I went back to that house and I was afflicted because I was so afflicted. I said, well, I want my own. So I was afflicted and I got a job. And at an early age, I learned the importance of work. Because if he wouldn't have afflicted me, I wouldn't have got that job. Because I got that job so I could be away from home a little while longer. But in the midst of me getting that job, I learned some good skills. But then there was a time I needed a ride home. And I missed my ride, and my daddy didn't come back to me. And he made me walk home several miles in New York. And I tell anybody today that I look back on it, and I was mad at the time, but it was good that I was afflicted. Because now if it rains, it don't matter. If I don't have a car, it don't matter. If I have to get someplace, it doesn't matter. Because I was afflicted, and I know how to get around in hard times. You don't people, y'all looking at me. It was good that I was afflicted. Y'all don't get it. Because we want to rush. God is saying, submit. Just line up. Just do what they want you to do. It was good that I was afflicted. It was good that I learned how to make up my bed. It was good that I learned how to cook. It was good that I learned how to keep a good, clean house to come. My house looked nice. I didn't have to worry about money sometimes because I knew how to get a job. I wasn't worried about some things because I was afflicted. You don't see it at times. And then I had this one high school teacher. About 5'1" African American lady who went to family, called her Grand English. I got mad at her one day. So her, I went out. She said, no, I didn't want to submit. Because I thought I was being afflicted. Because she wouldn't give me that. And gave everybody else an A on the test. But wouldn't give me one. This other lady told me, she said, that was not any work for you, so you wouldn't want to do that. When you produce any work, then I will give you a so she was putting her thumb down. She was putting her thumb down. She said, I'm gone. But I went home. My mother said, act a fool if you want to. And I went back and I submitted to that lady in the classroom. And it is so good for me that I was afflicted by Miss Helen Allen because I hated English with a passion. But that lady, in the midst of the time when I submitted, she taught me the concept of how to be a critical thinker. She taught me the concept of analytical writing. She taught me the concept of how to write persuasively and to defend my argument. But if I had not have been afflicted, if I would have run away from that situation, I would not be able to stand here. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are. But some of us, like myself, want to run, but God is saying, don't run, submit. Y'all don't understand. I'm going to make you a real point. Because I'm so glad there was one person that really understood the concept of submission. And I'm so glad this person did me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He submitted himself and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look at the situation where you are right now. Are you dying? Are you hung on a cross in the midst of your affliction? But we have a Savior who's already bled and died, who can give you the strength that you need to get out of your situation. You say, well, why should I stay here? Well, you see, at the end of that, when God told Hagar, he said, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hand. Go back and do whatever she wants you to do. Why? Because I got this on the other side. He said, behold, God will child and shall bear a son and call his name Ishmael. And verse 12 says, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brothers. But she also was promised that his name was going to be good, and that he was going to be a great man. Now, look at this. God sees you. I know it's hard where you are right now. I know you don't even understand what's going on and what's going on behind the scenes, but don't run. Stay right there. Because when you stay right there, I'm going to help you. Don't get there. He says, if you stay right there, I'm going to elevate you. See, a lot of times we run. We want to get out because the fire is just too hot. It's just too great for me right now. I've got to get out of here. I've got to go. I've got to go and do something else. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. The scripture says, humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, what? That he may be what? When? A lot of times we want to flee and miss our blessing. But he said, humble yourselves thereof under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God is saying, I'm going to raise you up in due time. I hear your cry, I hear your affliction, but just stay right there. There's some things I've got to take off of you. There's some things that you got to go through. There's some things that you got to understand. You got to come to know that I am God and I can move in the midst of anything. I can move in the midst of trouble. You just stay right there. And not only that, he didn't just say, humble yourself that I may exalt you. He gives me something else in verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What am I saying right now in the midst of your situation? He's saying, stay right there. I just got to make this plan for you. He says, I'm going to just walk on that. And he says, cast your care upon him. This is what the scripture really means when he says, cast your care. That's exactly what the Lord is saying. Just cast. He just saying, submit, stay right there, and just go. And so see, what happens? What happens in the midst of that? You may be in the midst of an affliction, but he says, submit and stay, and then just go. See, all the things that are going on, they may be treating you wrong, just go. You may not understand everything that's happening, and they may want you to come in, but just go. He's saying cast because he careth. It's a continual caring for you. I know you're in a hard time. I'm not leaving you there by yourself. Just cast it on me. Don't run from the situation. Just cast it on me. Just throw it on me because I've got your best interest at heart. You don't believe that I understand what it means to have fair cast on it. See, Jesus is saying one night I was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Praying so hard that sweat was coming like drops of blood. Why was I sweating? Because I knew I was getting ready to submit to something that was really, really hard. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go on that cross. I didn't want to hang up there and just be nailed in my hand. But he said, nevertheless, Father. He's saying, Jesus wanted to run. Oh, so don't feel bad sometimes when you think you want to run away. But Jesus wanted to run, but he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I know it's about to get hard, but I'm just going to submit right now to you. Because I know you have my best interest at heart. But I want to make it real, real plain. Because Jesus got on the cross not because of something he did. He didn't go through affliction because of something he did. He found himself between a rock and a hard place because of something we did. I'm telling you now, because somebody else got you in hot water, don't run. Jesus looked down and saw that we were in sin. Needed somebody holy, somebody righteous, somebody unblemished, somebody without sin. And he was the only one trying to get us out of our mess. Here he is in the garden, just trembling and shaking, wanting to flee, wanting to run. But those words, he submits. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And because he did that, he now on the cross in between two other people. Somebody who sinned and still people in between thieves, and he's up there, did no wrong. Feeling pain and agony, he's been whipped all night long. He's been whipped so bad till it was pulling flesh from his body, bleeding profusely. You want to talk about affliction? When you put your affliction up next to that, how much pain are you really in? But he didn't run. And because he didn't run, I don't have to run. Because I'm more than a conqueror. So now we have Jesus up on the cross, bleeding, getting pierced in his side, suffering, dying, looking up at one time saying, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" How many of y'all feel right now that the Lord is forsaking you? But God was right there with him all the time. He just had to put on himself all the sins and the weight of the world. So you think you're going through something. You may think you're experiencing something, but how would you like to have placed upon your shoulders at one time all the sins, every sin from the beginning to the end, placed upon your shoulders all at one time? Because you got to understand, he died a long time ago. But he died for every sin that would still be committed. Now you tell me, did he have reason to want to run? But he didn't run. And that's why I like this verse. Back over in Philippians chapter 2, why should we stay where we are? Why should we not run? Listen to this, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Just like it said over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He humbled himself, what? Under the hand of God, and became, what? Obedient. Even the death of the cross. You see how much he submitted? And guess what? On the back side of this, he says, wherefore? Because he submitted. God. Jesus. Y'all see how scripture this interprets and represents scripture. He says, wherefore? Because he did that, God also has what? Highly exalted him. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves there under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due season. Don't run. Just submit. Because as he elevated Christ, he's going to elevate you. Check it out. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Just because he was there, he gave him a name above every name. I don't know, but some of y'all may be in a position. God may give you a position that's above everybody else's position. When they have to look at you and come to you, when they were dogging you out, just stay there and submit. And I like this, that at his name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. All things in heaven and in earth, and things under the earth. God ain't leaving nothing out. Because, my son, you submitted. Guess what? Everything has to answer to you. And not only that, in that every tongue should confess. See, a lot of times you got people that want to do things and try to run away, but in the end, God says, stay right there, because they're going to have to confess. They're going to have to confess. I'm going to make it plain to you. There was one time in my career, I was doing everything right. I was doing everything right that this man wanted me to do. But he got upset with me because I interviewed for the same position. I knew I wasn't going to get the position because I wasn't qualified to get it. But I submitted it so I can get the experience. And because I applied and he got it, he tried to make my life miserable. He tried to make my life, so miserable. So much so that one day he looked me in the face and said, the only way you're going to move up in here is if you move out. I started looking, and I was trying to run. I was trying to get out of that calling in favor, trying to do everything, trying to get out of that situation. But God said, don't run, submit. I went ahead and I did everything that I needed to do. I put together proposals and everything and gave it to him. And he said, no, that's not right. I put together one proposal, and then he looked at it and he said, no, we're going to call in a consultant. They called in a consultant. And guess what? The consultant agreed with everything I had in my report. He said, you need to do what Vincent told you to do. You know what he said? I'm not going to do it. And he put it to the side. But I stayed right there. I'm getting to the point. I stayed right there. I cried out to the Lord and I stayed right there. Then one day when it got time, it was due season for me to be exalted. Oh, I went and I took this exam. Long story short, I took some anointed oil to that exam. Put some oil on it, prayed on it. I got the job. I came back. I told my supervisor, he told me the only way I can move up is if I can move out. But since I submitted my work unto the Lord, he's opened up the door. But I said that just to share this. Woo! Remember how the scripture said that they would have to confess. When they was, I told them I was getting ready to go. They had a big meeting. And I was on my way out the door. That supervisor looked at me, told everybody in the room, he had to confess that everything Vincent told us to do, we should have been doing. I just didn't do it. Look at God made him confess. I'm not telling you what I heard, I'm telling you what I know. Hallelujah. A lot of times we want to run. But God is saying, stay right there. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, oh, I must stop right there. God is saying today, don't worry how hard it is. It's good. It's good. Don't run, submit. It's good. It's good that you've been afflicted. Don't worry about it, because I'm telling you it's good that you've been afflicted, but I also give you another scripture that I'm going to take you out of it. Woo, hallelujah. Because he done told you, and he ain't say some, he said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But you just got to hang on in there and stay right there. Hallelujah. Don't run. Submit. Do what they want you to do as unto the Lord. It may get hard sometimes, but God is saying, I hear your affliction.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, nycvirtualoffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000, or online at nycvirtualoffice.com.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.